You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so as we continue through this series on parables, we're in our third week. And what we've seen, what I hope you have seen, or what I hope you will see, is that all of these parables are about the kingdom of God and the king in his kingdom, Jesus, right? These aren't moral lessons. These aren't how I should be a better person, but they're about Jesus and his kingdom and how his kingdom really is on this earth and what his kingdom will look like on that last day when he returns. And so in week one, we saw the parable of the sower. And we saw that Jesus, that in the kingdom of God, Jesus is extravagantly generous with his word, as he shares it with everyone that all might hear. And last week we saw the parable of the wheat and the weeds, that in the kingdom of God, that again, Jesus spreads his good word and it produces a good crop. But also Jesus tells us that at the same time that there's an enemy, that there's a sower who is sowing lies into this world, who is sowing evil into this world. And if you're paying attention at all, you see the work of the evil one all around us. And right, he's the enemy, right? Not the people, but the evil one who is sowing those lies is the enemy. And so we lament his work, right? We lament the evil, we lament the hurt and the pain. And while we lament that, though, we don't panic, because the king is still on his throne in the kingdom. And there's a harvest that is coming. And even in the middle of the weeds, what we'll see is that in the kingdom of God, Jesus works through small and ordinary means to do great things. Some of those things are hidden, and some of those things are obvious. Or the ways he works, sometimes his ways are hidden, and sometimes they're very obvious. But today we're going to see two parables in the span of three verses. So even as we see the kind of the theme of it, Jesus shows it to us by giving us two short parables to do great work through his word. So first we see the parable of the mustard seed from Matthew 13, where Jesus, again, puts another parable in front of the crowds, and he says the kingdom of heaven is like this grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field, and it is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it's larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Jesus says there's this small seed that when planted, when watered, it grows to become this huge tree, a tree so big that it becomes a place of rest for birds, a place of safety and refuge, a home. In the kingdom, there are things that might start small, might have small beginnings, but through the work of God have unexpected growth. And that kingdom growth is real. Things that might start small don't stay small when God gets a hold of them. His kingdom grows. It grew from just a few people to the kingdom that we see today. A kingdom, a body of Christ, a big C church that then becomes a place of rest, a place of refuge, a place to belong, a home. And then Jesus tells us another parable, where it says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. And in this we see the hidden work of God, where leaven is mixed into a dough. And if you've ever baked, or if you've ever baked with mom or grandma or dad or grandpa, right, you get this loaf that sets in a bowl, and yeah, that yeast is pretty tiny little grains, but it gets mixed in the loaf, and it gets set in a bowl, and it gets sets off on a corner, and a tea towel gets put over it, and then you pull it out a couple hours later, and what was this little ball of dough become has doubled or tripled in size, to where now it's ready to make into bread or dough or, you know, pizza crust or whatever you're using to make it. And we see that the hidden things that might be hidden from us even doesn't mean that God's absent or that his work is absent until we see the result. And so in these two parables, we get these two pictures, but we really see one ultimate reality of the kingdom, that in the kingdom of God, Jesus works through small and ordinary means to do great things. And if you remember, if you were with us the last 2 weeks, there were farmers in both of the last 2 weeks. And so 2 weeks ago, we had this sower who was just spreading his seed everywhere, extravagantly generous with that seed. And this is not a rhetorical, so answer me on this one. What did that seed represent? The word of God, right? And it did good things. And then last week with the parable of the wheat and the weeds, there was another farmer who planted seed and it grew up to become wheat. What did that seed represent? God's word, right? Same thing. Okay? I'm gonna give you a hint. Maybe the answer that you've said or heard twice might be a great answer for the third time in a row. We see this little tiny mustard seed that a farmer plants. What do you think that seed might represent? Fantastic. Right, look, that little seed has done great things already, right? But that word of God, that tiny word of God, does incredible things. Right? His word is living and active, and it's not about how you read it or when you read it, but it's about his word being active. And so sometimes, maybe as you read God's word, you read a few chapters a day, or one chapter a day, or maybe you've got the verse of the day that you look at. Now, when we have our service of meditation on God's word, we'll meditate on one verse, but in that, I encourage the individuals there to pick one word in that verse for them to focus on. And at the end of that service, I always say, invitation, not expectation, but I invite them to share how God was speaking to them through that one word. And there will be times where like 3 or 4 of us will have the same word that God has been speaking to us through that day. But it's really interesting that almost never does that one word say the same thing to us. So that little tiny word is growing as we share how God is speaking to us through that word. At the same time, this year, I've tried to do something different. Instead of reading a word or a verse, I'm trying to read a book at a time, right? And hear the story of God in a bigger picture. And so, you know, a couple weeks ago, I read the book of Genesis. This last week, I read the book of Exodus. That means this week I get the book of Leviticus, right? Let's get through that in one sitting. But it doesn't matter if you're reading the whole book or even one word, right? That word is living and active. And just those few simple moments are more than just the words on the page. But it's also more than just reading his word. We get to hear his word proclaimed. You get to hear the word of God preached, or as you gather in Bible study, you get to hear the word of God explained. And it's not just about Pastor Gerber or Pastor Rathke. It's not about our Bible study leaders. But a sermon is not just a speech, or a Bible class is not just an academic class, but the word of God is living and active. And as we look at those words or hear those words, God works and does great things. or in a little bit, you might hear some words that you've heard over and over and over again. Right? I by my call, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, I announce the grace of God unto all of you. Right? And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, it is my joy, my honor, and my privilege to announce God's grace to all of you, that your sins are forgiven. Right? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Those are just a few words that I get to say. But those words aren't my words. Right? Those words are the words of Jesus speaking through me. And those words are not just words that are nice to hear. Those words actually accomplish their purpose. And so when you hear those words, your sins are forgiven. Or last week, we got to look to the waters of baptism. Next week at 8 and at 10:30, we get to look to the waters of baptism. The week after that, there's another baptism where a few words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, where something so simple as a little bit of water that gets placed on the head is more than just a little bath. In that small moment, in those few words, the Word of God is living and active. Where that child, where that individual, where that adult is brought into the family of God, where they're marked as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified, where they're made new. Or right, we don't have communion this week, but next week you'll, or last week, or just visualize it where there's some bread and there's some wine. And where we see that bread and where we hear Jesus say, take and eat. Or when we see that water or wine and we hear Jesus say, take and drink. It's more than just a wafer and a little tiny glass of wine. It's more than just bread, wine, but Jesus says, this is my body. This is my blood broken and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And so as you take a little and eat a little piece of bread, as you take and drink a little drink of wine, you are forgiven because Jesus does incredible things through small and ordinary means. In all of these ways, Jesus shines on us. He strengthens us. He shapes us to be able to reflect his light and love. And so as a people who are called to reflect the light of Jesus, small moments matter. Small moments where Jesus speaks to you, where he brings his word to you, and at the same time, small moments where you get to reflect him to those around you. Right, just simply being with someone in a time of need is far more than just sitting there. That small moment, God does great things with. Right, that quick check-in with a friend that you can ask, but how are you really doing? And that's more than just a text or a phone call or a conversation. Right, that means that God is using that to do great things in them. Or when someone might be spiraling, maybe there's some negative things going on in their lives or catastrophizing, to be able to just point them back to Jesus, the one who loves them and cares for them. That's more than just a redirect so that you stop thinking about the bad things, but it is a reminder of the one who loves and cares. Or when you're out and about. One of the things I've been teaching the sixth graders, the first article of the creed that talks about God, who is the... Oh, she's reading her Bible instead of listening to me, right? The Father, and what word do we give to the Father? Creator, right? But also sustainer, right? And we've been talking about giving him credit for what he does, right? Instead of saying, oh, that was lucky that this happened, or what a great coincidence in this, but no, to say, hey, God, thanks for doing this. And when we say that even out loud, those small moments that someone might hear becomes a seed that gets planted. And as we plant that seed, then maybe God brings along someone else who waters that seed, and we know that the Spirit gives the growth. Or how many times have I heard the phrase, well, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I don't really have the gifts that everyone else gives, so I can't really do anything important for the kingdom of God. Well, if you're one who has thought that or is thinking that, first of all, you're not too old, you're not too young, and you do have gifts because you have the Spirit who gives you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all of the other things that he gives you. So don't let that stop you thinking that you don't have the gifts, because you do. You're not too old, you're not too young. But even if you want to think that for a little bit, well, what can you do then? Pray. I'm not very good at praying. Guess what? Romans 8, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And he takes our prayers to the Father with groans too deep for words. And so even if you're not very good at praying, the Spirit is. Right? And also, when you ask someone, hey, how can I pray for you today? That question plants the seed that the Spirit gets to grow and do incredible things through, right? These small moments, right? In the kingdom of God, Jesus does incredible things through means that might seem small and ordinary. And the beauty of all of this is that it's not about trying harder. It's not about trying to do it perfectly. It's not about trying to be the best, but Jesus frees us to just be faithful in the small ways. The opportunities that he's placed before us, not to be everything, but to be who he has created us to be. Because in the kingdom of God, Jesus works through small and ordinary means to do incredible things. And so don't despise the small things. Don't underestimate what Jesus is doing through those ordinary means, but as one who has received those small and ordinary means, and as ones who if God has done great things in, then we are ones who can go in confidence, who have received his gifts, who continue to receive his gifts, and then get to reflect those gifts in small and ordinary ways to the people that God puts in our paths each and every week. Because the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field, and while it was one of the smallest seeds, it grew to be such a great tree that even birds could rest and take refuge in its branches. And also the kingdom of God is like leaven that gets mixed into a dough and that leavens the whole dough and prepares it for what it's meant to be. Right, in the kingdom of God, Jesus uses small and ordinary means to do great things, and he is still doing those great things through you, to you and to me, and through you and through me in his kingdom today. Amen? Amen.